My epiphany took place in the fall of 2004. I was at an event called Foo Camp, which F-O-O Camp, which stands for Friends of O'Reilly Camp. It's an outdoor event in which some of the richest and most famous people in Silicon Valley spend an outdoor camping trip talking about the Internet revolution. And after a weekend of all these rich Silicon Valley guys talking about democratization and empowerment and all these other long and rather abstract and, in my view, dangerous words, I suddenly realized that my vision of the Internet and their vision were different and that I really needed to react to what I considered to be their rather dangerous and corrosive ideas.
And Andrew, you thought that back in 2004, and I was thinking about this reading the book the last couple of days, that maybe the essence of what you're getting at was personified last, well, Christmas time when Time magazine came out with their Person of the Year, and they called it you. That's right, you, as in the right. Individual out there, and all about the individual and what the Internet has brought to itself, as it were.
I, in fact, did a debate with the editor of Time magazine in New York City, the guy who awarded you, all of us, I guess, you, me, and everybody else listening to this show, the Person of the Year. I've got nothing against all of us. The problem is that many of us aren't that talented. And just because we are, so to speak, empowered with a camcorder or a microphone or a keyboard, and we can use the Internet to self-publish, doesn't mean that what we self-publish has any value. Now, that in itself might not be such a great problem, but simultaneously, while there is this self-publishing revolution, what I call digital narcissism, which we're showing ourselves off online, we're also seeing a crisis in mainstream media. So for every blog that gets authored, one less newspaper is being read, one more newspaper journalist is being laid off. For every music file that's stolen online, or for everyone who's inventing their own music online, one less CD is bought, and that results just early this year in 20% decline in the sale of recorded music. So this has real consequences. It is meaningful in terms of undermining mainstream media, undermining, in my mind at least, very cherished businesses, print newspapers, the recorded music business, even Hollywood and the publishing business are now encountering their own perfect storm.
We're speaking with Andrew Keen. He's the author of the new book, The Cult of the Amateur, How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture. And Andrew, you say that you've been in a debate with the Time magazine editor. I'm sure you've gotten so much, well, if not criticism, certainly challenged rebukes back to you. Of course, people celebrate about the Internet as they say that it's taken away the gatekeepers, if you will, and it allows the citizen, the you, as Time calls it, to go ahead and make their own media. What is wrong with that, Andrew?
I cherish the gatekeeper. It may be a politically, or shall we say, a digitally incorrect statement, but in my mind, the majority of gatekeepers are professionally trained, they're reliable, they're honest, and they're passionate. They love news, they love music, they love movies. They've spent a lifetime judging its quality, making sure it's accurate, making sure that the content people are developing intellectually, making sure that their product sells. When you do away with the gatekeepers, you undermine the whole industry. The people who talk about gatekeepers, in my mind, are somehow neo-Marxists. They're suggesting that the gatekeepers are pursuing some sort of economic or class or gender line or reflecting some sort of ethnic group, and I simply don't believe that's the case. Gatekeepers aren't necessarily pursuing their own elite interest. They're simply making sure that we have reliable news, high-quality books, high-quality music, and great movies. Now, they don't always guarantee that. I accept that some mainstream media needs to be improved. But at the same time, a media without gatekeepers is a media which is chaotic and extremely vulnerable to corruption.
Let's talk about examples here. Certainly one that's been used a lot and more every day is Wikipedia. And actually the creator of Wikipedia is a Tampa Bay resident, St. Petersburg's Jimmy Wales. He's the creator of the site there. What do you make of his philosophy, Jimmy Wales' philosophy behind Wikipedia?
I respect Jimmy Wales as an entrepreneur. He's a very dynamic man, and he's in many respects, he's achieved a huge amount with Wikipedia. But on the other hand, I'm very troubled by his philosophy. He very famously at one point said, and for your listeners, Wikipedia is what's called an open source encyclopedia, which means that anyone can write an entry and anyone can edit an entry. There are no central editors, no professional content people. There's nothing between the reader and the creator, which means that it's fully democratic. Jimmy Wales very famously said that he trusts a high school kid, the authority, the intelligence, the knowledge of a high school kid, as much as he trusts the authority, the knowledge, the intelligence of a Harvard professor. Now, you might call me an elitist. You might call me a snob, but I believe that a Harvard professor who has spent his or her life dedicated to learning and knowledge is a much more reliable resource, much more knowledgeable about their own area, their own specialization, than a high school kid. And I don't want to read Wikipedia. I don't want to read stuff that is unreliable, that is edited and created by anonymous people. I want to read Britannica, for example, which I accept I have to pay $30 a year as a subscription fee. But at the same time, I'm trusting that the Nobel Prize winners and Harvard professors and other learned people who openly contribute to it are producing more knowledge. The problem with Wikipedia is you really never know who is producing the content. In my book, I talk about a 24-year-old Kentucky dropout of a couple of liberal arts colleges who invented this complex identity about himself. He claimed he had three advanced degrees, including a PhD in theology. His name was SJ, and he bullied all the people on the theology bulletin boards, and he got his way. And he was only ultimately outed, and he was close to Jimmy Wales, by the New Yorker magazine, by professional media. The problem is I think that Wikipedia is riddled with these kinds of people, because after all, who really has the time to spend hours online arguing over arcane elements of theology and not paid for it? It's only 24-year-old kids, dropouts of colleges, who would have the time to invest in this sort of thing.